I got a dream from Jennifer. She scanned it in. I told you I'll take them handwritten if that's the way you want to do it, which is fine. She hand wrote it on one half of the page and then scanned it in, and
That works.
that worked fine. Had a little illustration in it. A sandwich, a tile sandwich that her mother took a bite out of. I could have imagined that sandwich without, I didn't need a picture of it. But that's all right. Sometimes I need a picture. Okay, what's the other thing? Patrick tells me that the word immortal, E-M-M-O-R-T-A-L, is a word. Said he found it in his dictionary that had something to do with God. If you find the word, ignore it. I created the word by looking up the definition of the prefix em as opposed to im. Immortal. Forget anything that has ever been defined about immortal. Immortal means gives the appearance of mortal. As I said before, but since you are eternally recurring, you are in fact immortal. But that immortal in that way then goes against the definition of immortal too. Now, the reason that this is correct is because you don't understand the meaning of the word death. Death is not an ending. And of course, if this pisses everybody off, too bad. Death is not an ending, it's a pause. And therefore, that's all. That's like my three little dots, where you might use period and then start over again. That's an ending and then a re-beginning. That's an ending and a resurrection. And a going again, or starting over again. I use a declaration mark, which is not an ending, and then three dots, which really means it's a pause. That's all death is. From this side, it appears like it's an ending, but in fact, it's only a pause. It's not an ending of anything. And that's why I do my sentencing that way, to always remind me that death is merely a pause, not an ending, and a re-beginning. We always speak in pauses. We don't really speak in sentences normally. We write in sentences. And this is why nobody reads much anymore, because the way we write English is not the way we speak English. So to a lot of people, it doesn't make sense, and I'm one of those. The way it is normally written in a paper or in a book, it doesn't make sense. Now, we did that one. Okay, we did that one and that one. We have one other item to talk about. Last week, Patrick talked about things symbolizing things in dreams. Don't ever use the word dreams and symbolize in the same sentence. Don't even use them in the same booklet. Don't ever use it nearby.
Because, why?
Because every symbol represents some particular thing. It doesn't symbolize as a generic. He used the example, well, we always say that fluids symbolize emotions. No, they represent emotions. And the only reason they represent emotion is because we always speak of emotions as having a flood of emotions, or you feel the flow of emotions within you. So we use fluid terms to speak of emotions. Therefore, it seems reasonable to use fluids speaking of emotions. But that is not a symbolize. That's particular to you.
Okay.
What did you say again about the symbol?
Huh?
What did you say again about the symbol?
Don't use it. It doesn't. There's no symbolization in dreams across the board. That is true for instance, we say that an automobile represents the same as your body. If you can imagine, you get into your body and you go about and live your life. You get in your automobile and go about and do your things. But in some societies, you might get on your horse or get on a llama. So it doesn't symbolize across the board. Every thing in a dream is represented individually and particularly as the dreamer sees it. You, as I've said before in the dream book, you can use right and left as right and wrong, but only as a very insignificant beginning. You have to ask the dreamer. And let's say, for instance, if Uncle Fred comes up in a dream, and you have to ask the dreamer, what does Uncle Fred mean to you? And she says, well, he's the angriest guy I know. Then you could reasonably assume that Uncle Fred and anger, Uncle Fred represents anger for her. But Uncle Fred for his wife might represent safety, security, or niceness, or Uncle Fredness. My Uncle Fred in my house, in my life, always ate my jelly bean at Easter. So he was Mr. Nasty Guy. He's a jelly bean eater. And I don't have jelly beans come up in my dreams very often. Neither does Uncle Fred. But anyway, Uncle Fred means something different for everybody. So Uncle Fred represents, in this illustration, anger to that person. Doesn't symbolize anger for everybody.
I get it.
So you have to then say, no matter what the action is or what it appears to be, it represents something, but it represents what the dreamer says it represents, not what you think it represents. So you have to ask. You must ask. Okay, here we are today. While you guys are going about your daily chores of making a fortune of money and of doing whatever you're doing, I've been writing on promise. I said yesterday that I would, what I would do is I'd be writing on promise. So I'm writing a book of promise, kind of like the Bible. And each chapter of promise is a gospel. There's a guy, I've written the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Amudad, and the Gospel of Jedediah. We'll read them some other time. Now I'm going to read the Gospel of John. The book starts with the Gospel of John. You've all heard this, so get your oh yes over with and listen carefully, because you never understood anything I ever said. But we'll get there. It is easy to be a human being with problems and afflictions, controlled by invisible attitudes and emotions, with little meaning and purpose, leading to a life of discontent. And in all of this, it seems that life is a futile venture. But is it? Is this seeming falsity and discontentment of human life real, or just an illusion and merely a languaged problem, or just a habit you've fallen into? Most of you people just want to sit and listen anyway, so I'm just going to read. The events and situations that make life such a trial are all around you, and you probably believe you have almost no control over those conditions and situations. In the face of this, do you believe it is at all possible to be content and remain content? every day you are caught up in doing and saying things you wouldn't ordinarily do. And you don't really like yourself for getting involved in these ways. Yet you constantly get caught up in your emotions and in the world around you. And before you know it, you aren't really you anymore. You are somebody else living your body and life. Isn't that right? Oh, you certainly look and feel like you as usual, but even that, as usual, isn't you. You are living as a loner being in a loner body, self, and life. Two individuals created a DNA body and loaned that to you as a come alive gift. That also included a DNA self and life, or provenance for you to be and live. And that provenance is not of you. It is your body's provenance, as determined by your parents and their parents and their parents, who are not really your parents and ancestors. They are your body's parents and ancestors. And your brothers and sisters, and I'm glad about this one, and your brothers and sisters are your body's siblings, not yours. It seems that someone different has taken over the self and life meant for you. So what can be done about all of this? It's as though your self and life today is a dream, and you are watching everything happening to you and all around you. There's nowhere to hide or run to, and you can't even call time out. Hey, Ken, you want to read?
I want to read.
You want to care to read this?
Sure.
You have this commanding voice.
Yep.
Start with paragraph 5. They're tired of hearing me. If you can't see it, I'll give you some,
I
give you some light.
A little more light. There we go.
Hey, Raj, before we go on, I had a question.
All right. Yeah?
I was just curious. I like your statement about, you know, someone else has seen, it seems that someone else has taken over your life, stuff like that. Is there anybody out there, well, I mean, it's hard to say, but do you find there are people out there who do feel like they are their body?
That what?
Anyone? Do you find that there are people out there who do believe they are just their body and their family and all that?
I've usually no.
Okay.
But they don't have an explanation for that, so a lot of times people say yes just because they don't know what to explain it or how to explain it otherwise.
Of course, yep.
So Ken's going to read for a while. I'm going to quit.
Okay.
It seems there are few alternatives, and living in an inner world doesn't seem desirable for an eternal choice, does it? Yet the whole of life appears to be focused on driving you into an inner world. And that doesn't seem right or appropriate either, does it? Is it possible to be content in a world that is falling apart all around you? If so, how? Can you stand up contentedly against such a world? And if you remain content, do you really suppose the world will change its actions to satisfy you and remain content with you? Believe it or not, the universe only reacts, and reacts as you action. But this reaction is not an effect or consequence of your actions. The universe only portrays your actions from a different perspective, so you can observe your true actions as you are occurring them.
So cause and effect is, or action and effect, is not valid.
For example, if you are digging a hole in your backyard, the slowly deepening hole is not a consequence of effect of your digging, for the holing continues as you continue. Holing is the universe's reaction, other action, of your actions, not effects. And this action, other action, continues endlessly as you do things. There is never an effect or an ending. The universe promises to always and only reveal your actions, to keep you informed. There is no consequence or effect to be judged, or for you to judge. Though the universe will stop portraying your particular actions only when you stop actioning in that way. And that's a promise. Just as all emotions are hardwired in your brain, but the inducers of these emotions are not hardwired. Promise induces a sense of contentment in the form of your not being discontent, which is different and personal for every person, as each desires that to be.
I was thinking the other day, you know how people have Bible study groups? We ought to have promise study groups. A lot of this stuff, as you get into it, you'll realize we've said all this before, and yet nobody seems to understand what the promise of the is all about. So maybe we should have a promise study group. The only problem is, the problem is over this black box. It's really terrible. Same way as having a dream group over this black box doesn't work too well either.
I once belonged to a group that we read from a text one sentence at a time, and if anybody didn't understand that particular sentence, they would interrupt and we would have a discussion until everybody was content, and then we would continue reading on.
That's kind of like a study group of what's the A Course in Miracles.
Yeah, actually that's what that was.
Mm-hmm. I've been to one of those.
Promise is not a future state or condition. It is about every aspect of yourself and life today.
Now that's a loaded sentence.
Promise is not a future state or condition. It is about every aspect of yourself and life today. Exclamation point.
So if you're promised eternal life, that's about your life today. You are promised eternal life today, not in sometime in the future or after resurrection or so. That's the difference about what promise is all about.
It is beginning.
Please read it again, Candy, sentence.
Promise is not a future state or condition. It is about every aspect of yourself and life today. It is beginning anew.
Okay, thank you.
It is greater and finer than God's grace, small g, or what God may do. It is what is promised to you in coming alive. For life is never thrust upon you. There is no sin or atonement in promise. Even if you fail to meet or fulfill your promises, you will not be judged, and the universe will never withhold its promises from you. That is a promise. The universe's promises are yours to live in full as you truly desire. For promise is never limited or conditional. In fact, you cannot believe inappropriately and have promise withdrawn from you. There are no threats in promise. No particular beliefs or actions are expected of you. A promise is a promise, regardless. In fact, promise is the only true expression of unconditional love. Everything else pales by comparison. Such that distorted beliefs, frequently referred to as revelations and divine teachings, work hard to cancel promise from you or seek to misdirect yourself and life and realization away from promise. You are promised that once alive, you will remain alive and recur again and again as you desire. And each self in life will replace the previous self in life, so that no seeming falser errors are continued or imposed on the recurring self in life. You have one life to live, either continuously or recurringly. This is the universe's promise of eternal life to you. The emphasis of promise is being and living as you truly desire, by your own authority, without discontenting yourself. It is not about correcting or healing the self and life you are now living. Promise releases you from discontent and continuing the actions that discontent you. One promise of promise is that you can live and thrive as you truly are at this moment. Promise asks you to live self-evidentingly, as you truly are and desire being. It does not ask you to learn, grow, and develop in promise. Yourself in life today and the universe's promises are clearly portrayed in the following story. You had to change the font down 3 sizes. You shrunk the font. That's not fair.
I didn't change the font. Oh, why did I change the font?
I'm sorry, you didn't change the font. You changed
the point size.
The point size. All right. It
gets smaller. You want me to read
smaller.
It?
Yeah, sure.
Huh?
I'll take over after the story.
Okay, I'm going to read it back again. What I'm trying to do in that introductory paragraph there is to show you that, or for you to get an idea that promise is so much other and different than religion. And everything that religion says would be against promise.
Roger?
What?
In that past, in that series that he just read, I got this sense several times you were using the word promise in different ways. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
What? I'm using promise and promised as an active verb, and I'm using it as a noun, but it's still the same thing.
Well, I just said universes, promises, and things like that, and I was thinking like, do I know what those are?
He may have said universal promises, but I've probably said the universe promises. The universe's promises, that's a possessive universe's promises, are clearly portrayed in the following story. A long time ago, a man met an individual who we shall call Mother Earth. Now, Mother Earth in this is meant to represent life in the earth plane. That's not a symbolism, that's meant to represent. Wherever I say Mother Earth, I'm meaning your life in the earth plane, or on this ball, this green tennis ball. Meta, who we call Mother Earth, who said to this man, "Dearest one, tell me what in all of your lives or in all of the things on the earth you might choose most of all to have, and I will grant you that." There is nothing in religion or anything you've ever read that says that the earth plane will grant you everything you desire. But promise does, and that's the meaning of promise as a religion. It's an entirely different meaning and religion and way of life. The man thought for a while and then answered with great assurance and conviction, "Mother Earth, I would choose to have love, the same old thing that is supposed to be the all-important thing in the world." "Well, Mother Earth," said, "let's consider that for a moment. If you were to choose love and I gave you only that, who would you love? For you would not have someone to love." "Oh, yes, I understand that, but you see, if I have love, oh, if I were love, then I would go about loving everybody and everything." Mother Earth, slowly shaking her head, gently questioned the man further. "Well, now, are you sure that's true, or would you contain or withhold your love within you? If you want love, would you be willing to give it away?" "Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I want love so I can be loving. If I gave it away, I wouldn't have it. I asked you for love so I could have it. Wouldn't want to give it away. Then what would be the value of in having love? Mother Earth asked. What would you do with it? Would you love yourself? Oh, sure, I would love myself. Of course I would. But would you love yourself enough, willingly enough, to give your love away? Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Then truly so, maybe you should make another choice. Because you'd have love, and there you would be. And you'd have no one to love. And even if you did have love, it seems you wouldn't give your love to that person. Well, the man pondered out loud, a little hesitantly. How about awareness and understanding? That would be good. Which would you choose? Well, what's the difference? Dear one, understanding is seeing and knowing, while awareness is believing and knowing beyond understanding. Fine, I'll take awareness then, for that seems to be so much greater than just understanding. All right, Mother Earth said. What would you be aware of? Well, I would know everything. Then everywhere you went, you would know everything, and there'd be no surprises. There'd be no joy or excitement. There'd be no boons given to you or for you, because you would know everything. So I ask you, would you still want awareness of everything? Well, maybe not. Could I pick awareness of some things? Mother smiled at the man and asked graciously, and just what things would you choose to be aware of? Well, I don't know, the man answered, a little confused and disappointed. I really don't know. Whatever should I do? Well, Mother Earth suggested, maybe you'd like to make another choice. The man was getting frustrated and a little angry. Isn't this kind of foolish, he stammered. After all, every time I ask for something, you tell me I don't want that, and if I had it anyway, it wouldn't work, and I wouldn't be happy. Couldn't I just pick something and say, I'll be happy with that? I'll tell you what I'll do, just for you, Mother Earth said comfortingly. I have to leave now, but I promise I'll still give you whatever you want. Your problem is merely to decide what it is you want. Remember now, whatever you decide, I promise to give you that. But only that which you most, above all, desire. And then, with that promise, Mother Earth went away. Do you see that every time in this that Mother Earth goes away, that's the same as a new life? Well, that left the man in quite a dilemma. And since he couldn't decide what he wanted, he set about exploring in life. You ready, Karen?
Yep.
He set about exploring in life, reaching after things, trying to decide or to discover what he might want most of all to have. The man searched the earth and earthly things, for Mother Earth promised it to him, but he did not find what he wanted. Well, this was a story told by a man known as Promise John, sort of a self-styled, self-named minister of the Gospel of Promise, who wandered throughout Europe preaching about promise as the benevolence of life and the fulfilling protection of promise. So the question is, in like that way, is anybody here understand that promise offers so much more than any religion? And considering what went on lately in promise, I mean in Paris, can we decide that maybe that religion, in fact, is in one way or another, all religions need to be replaced, and we need to get on with life living differently than we've been doing? For the religion of Islam sure hasn't brought us to anywhere.
Agreed.
Promise John told this story hundreds and hundreds of times, with exaggerated actions and reactions, with a loud voice and wild gestures. Did you get me, Patrick? With a clear awareness of the story's meaning and a boisterous aha! And with understanding and success in the telling. For each time he told it to others, he revealed promise to himself. Oh, no, he declared. I told it to others so they would be aware of what life offers them. But this was not so. John proclaimed it to them so he could hear what life promised and offered, should he choose that and live it. So Promise John traveled to many places and many people, telling many stories, but this was his favorite. Oh, certainly he gave other sermons and promises, but this was his proudest. And after telling this story, John went among the crowd that had gathered and putting his hand on an individual's shoulder and looking intensely at them declared, "Dearest one, I grant you a boon from Mother Earth, a boon to have whatever you want to have in life, to be and live. What will you choose?" So if we were to ask that question to the people and did a day analysis, what would you choose? What would you choose most of all to be and have in life? Does anybody want to consider that? And in that regard, would that not redirect your life entirely?
I think so.
Promise. Are you offering a day analysis on that?
You want to do a day analysis on that?
Hell yeah.
Next Thursday between 4 and 5 o'clock?
Okay.
In terms of promise, would you truly choose to be and have eternally?
Why don't you do it on a day that's not a work day so that they have the ability to be out and about and doing all sorts of crazy things, like a Saturday or something?
Well, because maybe we want to get their work involved to find out. Maybe their work is just deceiving them.
Yeah. Wouldn't that still show up on Saturday as being what they were doing?
Not if they're out and about doing other things.
Okay.
We can do just Saturday. Would everybody rather do Saturday than Thursday?
I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Thursday is normally a meeting evening for me. Yes.
So Thursday's okay?
Oh, I thought we just said Saturday. What did you say, Simone?
Thursday is normally our meeting day.
Well, so then what you might be reading?
The school meeting.
Oh, school meeting, okay.
She has a meeting, so she doesn't want to do that day.
Oh, sure, I can do it. And okay. It might be interesting.
Thursday's okay?
Saturday, but if you want to do Thursday, we can do it.
Seems like the consensus is Saturday.
Does anybody want to answer the questions? What would you choose? If you came up with if you met Mother Earth, what would you, and you have met Mother Earth, here you are, what would you choose?
Yeah. Sorry.
Isn't that, in my opinion, it is the whole question of your life. What will you choose? I got no expressions around here at the table.
Well, it seems a little bit trite on my part, but when I look at that story now of Mother Earth offering that seems to be the absolute treasure of the universe.
Of course.
And then what would I want to live and offer? I think I'd like to share that treasure of the universe.
What treasure?
The promise. That I can have and live as I desire.
No.
And so can everybody else.
Now, how do you know that that's the promise you would choose? What if your dream, what if your day analysis shows something else?
Well, just for starters, he answers the question, and we'll look for Saturday to see, well, you know, what shows up.
What's the question?
Is that a reasonable way to compare? It actually would be interesting to think about what I choose, just thinking about it, and then what shows up in the day analysis.
What would you choose just thinking about it, Andrew?
I would say I have a hard time vocalizing that. So, yeah, this Mother Earth thing is a little tricky to me.
What's tricky about it?
Well, because, like, for example, I was thinking about the pattern of the story, and Patrick says he would choose to share this, what'd you say, Patrick, this awareness, what'd you call it?
I call it the treasures of the universe.
Treasures. Yeah. And then, so, I was just thinking Mother Earth would say, you know, who would you share it with, or something, or you only have the sharing.
My question is,
not so bad.
It sounds good, but is that really what you would choose?
The only way to find out is to actually go ahead and live it.
Live what?
I don't know that intellectually I can come up with something and say, oh, there it is. I haven't tested it. I haven't lived it. I think I have to get into it and live it. Hmm. Only in that, I think, am I able to decide whether that's something I'd be prepared to be and live eternally.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it next week. Depends on what comes up on Thursday.
So it is still Thursday.
Everybody's pulling for Saturday, Roger.
Thursday.
Everybody's more in favor of Saturday.
Everybody's more in favor of Saturday.
All of us are in favor of Saturday.
Saturday, then. Do it Saturday.
Between when and what?
Saturday.
4 and 5 p.m.
I wanted to give everybody a time ahead.
What's the question exactly?
Yes.
How did you say it?
Question again.
Okay, here you are, alive and on the earth plane today, and you've been alive for how many years? What, for Christ's sake, now, after all these years, would you choose to have and be alive and be willing to live? Isn't it a little late trying to answer that question? Don't you think that question should have been asked a long time ago?
Too bad, it wasn't. Now we're going to do it.
Huh? Now, what are you willing to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or?
So.
Or did you answer it a long time ago and forget?
Probably.
What now would you choose to have and be willing to live?
You were afraid to answer the question in high school. How do I know? I'm not old enough to know all this stuff yet. And here we are. 30 years later, out of high school, and you're still saying, or even 40 years, saying, how do I know? I don't know till I try it. Well, you can't have it until you choose it. And if you won't choose it until you've tried it, maybe that's the real problem here. Think about that. What if...
No, I'm hanging up. Okay.
What if Mother Earth offered you, as it says earlier, everlasting life? Would you choose everlasting life? And then I would ask you, would you choose everlasting life as your life has been? And you would say no. If not, then what would you choose? Everlasting life in what way, in what manner? Okay, well... Saturday, 4 o'clock, 4 to 5. And then, with that promise, Mother Earth went away. Well, that left the man in quite a dilemma, and since he couldn't decide what he wanted, he set about exploring in life, searching after things, trying to discover what he might most of all want to have. The man searched the earth and earthly things for Mother Earth promised it to him, but he did not find that what he wanted. See, he didn't search spiritual things, he searched earthly things. Well, this was a story told by a man known as Promised John. Sort of a... I went through that, didn't I?
Yep.
Promised John told it hundreds and hundreds. I went through that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. No, I told it to others so they could be aware of what life promises them. Are you aware of what life promises you? Or are you willing to deal with promise and repeat that in order to know you for yourself what life promises? Would you choose that and live it? Would you choose to live eternal life today? And so Promised John traveled to many places and many people, telling many stories. Well, we went through that. And putting his hand on an individual's shoulder and looking tensely at them, declared, "Dearest one, I grant you a boon from Mother Earth, a boon to have whatever you want to have in life, to be and live. What will you choose?" So I ask you the same question. What will you choose? And here we're going to, instead of making the choice, we're going to use the day analysis. You that really that afraid of choosing? Brahmashan did more than merely tell his story. He placed within many individuals on a personal basis the awareness and the assurance and the promise that they could have whatever they truly desired and wanted to live in life. They need only make the choice and live that. And the universe, including Mother Earth, being ever so benevolent and giving, so reassuring and promised, would fully support their living exactly what they truly wanted. Though many did not believe this or accept it. But many people listened to John, and there were many who came just to hear as he reassured. So the question is, do you think anybody would stop listening if you were talking in these terms? To say that Mother Earth would give you whatever it is you truly desire and are willing to desire and live. I hear he grants you, no, and there was a many... who came just to hear and be reassured. I hear he grants you whatever you want, many declared. How can he give all that away? Is he rich? Others asked unbelievingly. And still others declared, I don't know, but I'd like to have 3 cows, but I don't see any cows. Can I get the money to buy 3 cows? But a man who had heard Promised John before spoke up saying, well, let me tell you a story. There was an individual who met Mother Earth, and she said to him, I promise to give you whatever you want. And as the man told Promised John's story, the listener asked, then you mean I can have 3 cows if I choose 3 cows? Oh, great excitement swirled all around Promised John and his preaching and his story. And there was a lot of joy and laughter as people heard he would give them whatever they wanted. And so my question is, would you be willing to present promise to the world that Earth will give you whatever it is you truly desire and support you in that? Oh, great excitement swirled all around Promised John and his preachings and his story. And there was a lot of joy and laughter as people heard he would give them whatever they wanted. And some came asking, Master, oh, Master, what is the secret? How can I have whatever I want? Oh, I want 3 cows. Truly I do. Can I really have 3 cows? Of course, promised John's reply. For what you have now is exactly what you have chosen, and what you do not have, that is only because you have not chosen it. Give it a little try, and 3 cows will be yours, quick as a wink of an eye. Blink too soon, and you will miss your 3 cows. But think about this first. Would you really give up all you could have in life for just 3 cows? Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But you said I could have whatever I wanted. Yes, John said quietly, that's true. But if I did that for you only once, you only have 3 cows. But you have no more than that. What about a fine wife or an obedient son who would take care of you in your old age? Or a fulfilling life? Would you like to become a great teacher, a marvelous preacher, a rich merchant, or miraculous healer? A great giver of gifts, a traveler to far-off places, were you to choose one thing, that's all you will have. Would you not want more than that? Would you not be willing to accept more than that? Oh, of course, the man answered. Sure, I will, but right now I want 3 cows. Then John proclaimed, all right, I will give you 3 cows, but I'll give you no more than that, and you shall have no more than that. And you shall be no more than that, a man with 3 cows. So be certain of your choice and what you ask for. Make every choice and action in your life in that way. Speak every word and feel every action as emotion, as though it were yours as a joy or a burden, as a proud possession, as a fulfilling pleasure, as you truly desire forever and ever. For the rest of your lifetime. And should you ask for 3 cows, you will have only those 3 cows to shelter and feed, to milk and care for. I've milked and cared for 3 cows. I've been there, so this doesn't apply to me. To nurse and treat, to put up with and clean up after. There's one time I came back in the house with an empty pail after the morning milking. My mother said, well, where's the milk? I said, I threw it at the cow. The cow was really being crappy. And finally, the cow stepped in the bucket I was milking. The cow went. And so I threw it on her head. I drenched her in milk. Well, the man decided, I don't believe I'll take 3 cows this time. But I'll come back. I won't take three cows again. Maybe next time or next week. You do that. You think carefully about this now and come back later. And often, like many others, the man returned with the understanding that what John offered would free him from the burdens of life. And so, if you were to choose everlasting life, wouldn't that free you from the burdens of life? That no matter what happened, you would have eternal life. The question is, would you choose to have eternal life?
I don't know that being gifted eternal life would free you from the burdens of life.
Well, probably not you. Well, having eternal life frees you from death, and in that then, since everything in life, one way or another, is motivated by death and endings, you'd be free from that. As death and endings that discontent you one way or another. Well, the man decided, I don't believe I'll take 3 cows this time. But I'll come back. Maybe next week. On Saturday between 4 and 5, I'll be back. You do that. You think carefully about this now and come back later. And often, like many others, the man returned with the understanding that what John offered him freed him from the burdens of life. For John was willing to give him the promise of life, that no matter how small or minuscule it might seem at first, only life offers you whatever you want to have, and that you will carry within you, whether as a burden or joy, or as a profound pleasure for all time. And you shall have it, and have it, and have it. For even if you attempt to release your choice or give it away, you cannot do so. If you choose three cows and become unhappy with that choice and the problems and obligations of those cows, even if you want, if you were to say, I'll give them to my neighbor and he'll be so happy, and you gave the physical cows away, the burden or joy of the cows remains with you in memory as a happiness and pleasure. Happiness or pleasure. Or as a problem. Whatever the choice is, it stays with you forever and ever, and ever in that way. Well, at times, individuals made wise choices. On Saturday, we'll see. To have what they truly desired, and the ability to have it again and again. At other times, the choices were not so wise. Well, that's John's story of Mother Earth's promises. And when we talk about a religion of promise, this is what we're talking about. That the earth plane promises you these things. Teacher, I asked for a beautiful... No. But one young man came to John accusingly and declared, Teacher, I asked for a beautiful, fine young maiden, and you gave me this homely old woman. It's not fair. You deceived me. What do you have to say about that? John looked earnestly at the woman and turned back to the man, declaring, But this is what you wanted. She is what you asked for. No, the man answered, I want a fine young maiden. Well, look upon her as a fine young maiden, and that you will discover is there. Finer than you ever thought possible. But you must have the eyes to see her, and of course you must have the ears to hear what I'm telling you today. So John not only encouraged and inspired people, but he had a way of quietly and intimately preaching to them. Not by giving them just the right words, but by creating and enlivening the images and understandings they carried about with them. Such that from that they could gather great strength and assurance. And at the end of these meetings, John said, Let us kneel in prayer. Let's give thanks to the greater entities all around who care after us. Some individuals perked up their ears at these words and looked all around. Asking, entities caring after us? I don't see anyone concerned with me. I'm stuck here on my own, and I have to solve my own problem. But they bowed their heads with their beloved promised John. And then in prayer, John commanded them to summon forth forever and ever the extraordinary power and strength of Mother Earth's promises. See, religion makes all these promises about after death, in another life, in a spiritual world. promises, making these promises for your life today. And you are mostly living the religion of in another world, in heaven, after this life, in a resurrected life. You are not living in any way. You won't leave the concerns of this life, but you won't live the promises of this life. Some individuals, well, I read that. And then in prayer, John commended them to summon forth forever and ever. That's going to be your Saturday now, between 4 and 5. Summon forth forever and ever what you would choose to be and have and live forever. Well, after carrying his own burdens in life for a very long time and showing others to theirs, even John began understanding what it was he truly desired being part of, to believe in and have in life. And he tried even harder than ever before to live that. And lo and behold, that's exactly what he had. And he said, if only I could just show this to everyone, oh, then they too could have. The awareness and life they really want, for it is truly promised and offered. And what a grand difference that would be for everyone.
If they understood them.
Well, that's why we say, what I say, like Bible study, we need a promise study.
Well, wouldn't John be depressed if he went around and did that and nobody got it?
And nobody got it?
Yeah.
He'd probably have a stroke. Yes.
You know what that's like.
They don't got it. The question is, are you willing to, would you be willing to express it? Nobody got JC either. Nobody understood that. The church is not JC's, it's Paul. And they killed him, and they killed JC. But it's really only Paul's church. Nobody understood what JC was saying, even though he decided to hang around over the weekend. They still didn't understand. So that's what I'm suggesting that we do, is create a different way of living and expressing and having in life. Our attitude today is only, yeah, you might be able to have this in another life, in a spiritual life, in a resurrected life, but you can't have what you truly want in your life today. Is anybody out there willing to go around and promise people that you can have what it is you truly desire in your life today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting to have a Saturday evening or a soup night and based on promise? And then find out what it is people really want, just like Mother Earth did. But would you be willing to give up everything for that one thing, everything you could have for that one thing? And put the questions to them and let them think about what it is they would truly desire in life. So, there you are. Andrew, are you willing to do such a thing like that?
I think, honestly, that's what I always wanted to message to people, communicate with people.
Well,
I just was thinking about it, Raj. So as you read this, I've always heard the story as, one choice, and then that was it. And I was thinking, isn't it that you are offered that choice anew in each moment?
Well, the point is you can't get rid of that choice, but you could choose another choice.
Oh, but you can't get rid of that choice. I see. So that is you. I see. Forever.
It is forever.
I gotcha.
Well.
Oh.
But do you understand making another choice and living it? You live then a new and different choice or way.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have that old choice, it's not that choice is not the way you live. So you're not.
I see.
But you, if you struggle to get rid of that choice or to change that choice, then you're trapped in that choice. Rather
sure.
than just make another choice and live anew.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But that's all, that's as simple as the universe really is. You want 40 virgins? Go for it. You know who's offering 40 virgin?
I thought it was 72.
Huh?
Said I thought they offer them 72.
Is it up to 72 now?
I don't know.
They must have a recruiting problem.
Inflation, man.
Reason enough anymore.
Like Publishers Clearinghouse has doubled their $5,000 a week to $10,000 a week. Double the ante. Hmm. John asked each person who came to him, "Dearest one, what is it you truly want in life?" Well, there's the question. What would you choose to have forever and ever? And how will you speak and act to help others? And why in those ways? What will you offer them? How have you empowered your life, and will you offer your empowerment to others? Again and again, John asked, what do you choose? What do you want? Forever and ever. Allow yourself to have everything you want right now, at this moment, by expressing these things in your life today. Do not wait. Relieve yourself of old burdens merely by declaring, this is what I want, and I will gain it for myself by offering it to others, by living it. For the greatest and grandest secret and promise of Earth in the universe is that she will give you whatever you want. You merely have to decide what it is you want to have forever and conform to that and offer it to all you meet. I've gotten back to the big font now. I was reading the little font because Ken was having trouble with the little font, the big font down at the bottom.
Well, much like John, we've come to help you make your choices and show you exactly how you may have whatever you choose, even everlasting life. There is no right choice or wrong choice. There's only your choice. And there's no secret in the having. For like the story of life in the earth plane, call it Mother Earth, if you will, Mother Earth grants you exactly what you want, just as you choose and choose again and again. That's not true, you might proclaim.
And you see, you choose by actioning. Therefore, on Saturday between 4 and 5, we look at and consider your actions, because your actions then is a demonstration of what you choose.
That's not true, you might proclaim, for I have chosen to have many things in life, such as money, a fine house, a loving and understanding mate, wisdom and happiness, a satisfying and fulfilling job, health, and many other things, including the ability to understand just what you are really talking about. And I didn't get any of these things. Well, then realize that...
Ted got them all.
Then realize that what, I guess, you have today is what you truly choose.
It's truly chosen. Here, put a big circle around it so I can find it.
Then realize that what you have today is what you have truly chosen.
True.
And what you do not have, that
because
is...
you didn't choose that.
That is only because you did not choose that. Want to chew on that one for a second?
I say that all the time.
And if you still do not understand, read the story of Asatru in the Gospel of Jedediah for your answer.
That's another gospel I'm working on.
Yeah. Jennifer and I talk about this a bunch. And this is one of my things working with people is taking inventory. So you have what you've asked for. And if you don't have it, you didn't ask for it. So I say, well, take inventory of what you've got. And
then you begin to know what you've asked for.
Yeah, and then remember, and then it helps you to remember when you asked for that. And it also gives you the opportunity to choose something different if that's not working for you.
See, that's exactly why Promise Study Group, talking about all these things, put this stuff into action.
We would say, just as John did, that you must have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the desire to understand what you are truly asking for and doing, or neglecting. Can you see even the unseeable things and realize what you have chosen and what you have not chosen? Again, you would protest and deny this by pointing out everything you've ever wanted and did not get. But in that, you didn't really want these things, those things. You wanted other things that are all around you and within you. So, believe it or not, you actually got what you truly wanted. So don't complain or blame Mother Earth. Got that one?
Yeah.
Roger got that one. Everybody else get that one?
Yeah.
Well, we were hurrying to get it typed so we could read it tonight.
Carefully pay attention to the next life about a young woman who's feeling very insecure in her life.
This is a true story, by the way.
Forever sought to gain security. She worked hard, advanced in her profession, earned a great deal of money, and was even more insecure than ever about all she had in life because she felt it was now more important than ever to protect all she had worked to acquire, and no matter what, she would give up nothing. Now it's getting heavy here. One day,
And some of you people have met this person.
One day, the Internal Revenue Service, after auditing her tax return, determined that she had made an error. Oh, she hadn't checked, and she wasn't kidding. And she wasn't hiding anything. It was just an honest mistake. And she owed an additional $22,000 in taxes. This was a great deal of money for many people 30 years ago, but not for her because she had that much money in just one of her many savings accounts. But this woman, being fearful of giving up any of what she had, contemplated suicide as being a better alternative than paying the IRS. She preferred giving up her life rather than giving up what she had put away. How are you like this woman? Do you hold tightly to old thoughts, attitudes, beliefs, and ways, and give up the enriching life promised you and waiting? Are you willing to pay what you owe? Well, she didn't kill herself. She paid the $22,000. But not learning much about herself and her attitudes and ways, she continued life as usual and tried to get security in everything she did. And the more she gained, the more insecure she became. What, if anything, was wrong? Did Mother Earth break her promise? If this woman chose security and gained all the things of security and still remained insecure, was Mother Earth false in her promises? Let's take a closer look. If the woman wanted security, that was because she had previously chosen and felt insecure, and was now trying to rid herself of her previous choices, which only worked to deepen her problem of insecurity because she held tightly to her insecurity. But wait a minute. If what you say is true, then just like the woman in your story, we are all trapped by our previous choices. Should we refuse choosing and just accept what comes or doesn't come in life? That doesn't sound too good either. I'd rather take my chances with choices, good or bad. It seemed the woman couldn't gain security or even get rid of feeling insecure. So how can we ever change anything or give up the old choices that didn't turn out so well? How can we know what to do? It seems we are trapped from the first choice on. Don't you see this? The woman didn't really want security. She only wanted to get rid of her previous choices that led to her insecurity. And she was holding on to those old feelings of insecurity no matter what, which means that her real choice was feeling insecure. And that she certainly had. But how can we really know deep down about old, old choices and how we really feel about them today? Tell me that, Mr. Smarty Pants. Tell me that. Could you do and say only those things you are truly proud of? Probably. I'm not sure. Why? Because in doing only what you are proud of, the universe shows that action to you, and you live in an environment you are proud of. But isn't pride wrong? I always thought it was. And wouldn't pride lead to my downfall? That doesn't sound so great. Is that where Mother Earth is leading to? My downfall? Whoa, wait a minute. You don't seem to understand that pride and proud are different. Proud means to discover the truth of something. While pride is similar, it is only a fault or problem when it results in an inordinate or unjustified feeling of superiority. Can you not be proud of your children or your actions without that meaning you are superior? Can you not be proud of your children or your actions without that meaning you are superior or have done something superior? In fact, your extraordinary should be your ordinary. Not an ostentatious or haughty display. It is that false display that leads to downfall, not being proud or acting truthfully. Doing only the actions you are proud of is proud of actioning, not proud of self. And the universe, reacting to those actions, offers an environment you are proud of living in. In Genesis 1:1-29, after the creation of each day, God declared, "It is good," meaning that what was created was good, not that he was proud of himself. Do you see? The universe clearly and always portrays your actions as you command. That's one of Mother Earth's promises. In declaring that all things in life are forever, John advised people to make every choice and action to be, above all else, that which you are truly and deeply proud to do and have done to you forever. You are proud to continue and have those actions eternally. Speak every word, action every action, and feel every emotion as though it is yours as a joy and pleasure or as a burden for the rest of your life, or time immemorial. For that is truly so. Then he asks you to give those same things to yourself and others in that way for all of your lifetimes. The rest of your lifetimes means forever and ever. It is not limited to this situation or life, and neither are you. That's Mother Earth's promise to you. For the purpose of this discussion, we will only consider forever and ever from this moment forward. And such that if we ask, will you live forever? And you might answer, someday I'll die. So no, I won't live forever. Though some people might say that when I die in the physical, my body dies, but my spirit lives on forever. So yes, I'll live forever. And still others declare that after my death, I'll be called to live forever with my Savior. You might even hear that my soul will reincarnate over and over until I make it to a higher plane of existence. And then another plane and another. So yes, I'll live forever, somewhere, somehow. But I don't know this or feel it. So how can I experience living forever? Say and do only these things you are proud to be and live forever, and you will know and experience living forever, should you choose that. But the choice is yours, that Mother Earth's promise. But the choice is yours, that's Mother Earth's promise. To be and live forever and ever. You must live that now, for only in living in that way is your choice a true desire. Do you understand? You cannot choose one thing and live something entirely other than that and expect Mother Earth to give you what you say you want. You must command the universe and Mother Earth with every action, not beliefs, words, or prayers. Mother Earth listens and reacts to your actions! Exclamation point. But wait! Can I change my mind and leave things behind? I must be able to release mistakes or bad choices, or cleanse myself of misdeeds or errors.
You tired of reading?
No. Won't I ever be forgiven?
You can give it over to
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Ready to read? Right. I'll finish this paragraph. Won't I ever be forgiven? That doesn't sound too good. What about grace? Certainly. I won't carry everything on forever and ever.
In changing, releasing, cleansing, or forgiving, you never alter the original action, word, or feeling. They remain
John,
the same.
John, how your voice has changed.
But all cleansing or forgiveness means change. You must change your words and actions and live anew. That alone is forgiveness, and it is the true meaning of death. What will you decide to have and possess eternally? Will you settle for what you want in the moment, or will you enliven and live the self and life of eternal promise? Do you complain of being discontent, yet persist in discontentedly yourself?
What does it say?
Discontently.
I didn't quite get it all edited. But that's the purpose of going over line by line, to make sure each line says exactly what you mean it to say, and that you understand what it says.
The universe only reacts, and the universe's reaction is merely your action from a different perspective, not as a result, effect, consequence, or conclusion. The universe always and only portrays your actions. Do you believe in yourself and Mother Earth's promise, or even believe yourself, really and sincerely and completely? If so, your life must be just as you truly desire, and so must you be. And they
Could you read that sentence over again, please?
I can.
It has an import to it. Do you really believe in yourself?
And Mother Earth's promise, or even believe yourself, really and sincerely and completely.
So the question is, does anybody out there really believe yourself? And I would say the question probably, I mean, the answer probably is not really. The question is being proposed. If you don't really, 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 really believe in yourself or believe yourself, how can you believe any other beliefs that you have?
That's a great question.
All right. Can I ask what you mean by believe yourself?
Believe in yourself. Did you, if you say, let's say, I'll give you an example. If you say on Saturday, this is what I would choose, would you really live that, no matter what it is? If no matter what comes up on Saturday, you would say, I would live that no matay what, then you would, that's believing in yourself. And
okay.
Believing
yeah,
yourself.
I got it. Thank you.
And believing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you wouldn't do that, then you don't believe in yourself. And you don't,
and
even,
I don't believe the words I say.
You don't even believe what you're doing. You see, we could sit, if you all were here, we could sit down and have a half hour discussion over that one sentence alone. But discussing it over the black box is a pain in the neck. Give you a stroke. Okay.
If so, your life must be just as you truly desire, and so must you be. And they are not in need of any additional examination, as Socrates suggested. However, if you do not believe completely in yourself, how can you possibly believe and live all of your other beliefs? In 1859, Charles Darwin proposed the evolving nature of life in his book, The Origin of Species. But not knowing of DNA, he offered no real mechanism that carried out this process of evolution, or even an inheritance from one generation to the next, or across death and resurrection. Though the stuff of DNA was first discovered in 1858-59 when Darwin was writing his book, no one knew what DNA was, or the significance of it as the substance of genes, and DNA remained in this unrealized state until 1944 when Edwin Schrödinger of quantum physics fame gave a public lecture called What is Life, in which he proposed that DNA encoded the design and functioning of all living things, and passed this information from generation to generation, fulfilling Darwin's insight of 80 years earlier. But many scientists and biologists, hearing nothing new in what Schrödinger said, mostly passed it off. Now we know that's exactly what DNA does. Are you ready to take the next step and say that, like DNA in your body, your immortal self carries memory, the stuff of your eternal self?
Memory or memories there?
Memory.
Such that the story of your abiding self and life is already written and available to you? And though we don't really know the language of DNA for certain, the language of mas, memory of abiding self, though different for each living thing and person, one language. Do you say that MAS or MAS?
It's there. You say it as DNA, like DNA, MAS.
MAS, okay.
But I wrote it that way. I originally had it as AMS, ASM.
ASM. Oh.
But I changed it to MAS to give scientific people pause to stop and think about what they mean when they say the mass, M-A-S-S, of something.
Memory of abiding self. Though different for each living thing and person, one language of MAS is your abiding dreams, which can certainly be...
Which brings us right back to where we are. It brings us right back to understanding dreams and why I went to dreams. And why I'm talking about promise in a dream group. You want me to read it?
If you want to.
No, but okay. You can read it. You can do fine.
Which can certainly be discovered and understood, regardless of the personal self and life you think you are creating and living. Your dreams also picture the eternal self and life you are creating or choosing and living, which reveals your personal eternal role in the universe.
Which means, of course, that your eternal self has already written. The story of your life is already written. You've chosen it.
You are choosing and living. Your personal eternal self is not spiritual. It is entirely physical, as is your role in the universe. And this reveals, as below, so above. Above, not the reverse. In fact, in Matthew 16:19 of the Bible, it is recorded that Jesus said to Peter, "You are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death shall never close upon it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven, and what you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven." And this certainly indicates as below, so above.
Religion has turned all of that around to as above, so below, as if we're supposed to be like spiritual beings. But spiritual beings, whether they realize it or not, are as you are. Your spiritual self is as you are today. It is not a greater self.
In the past, we have asked whether you can consider life in any form other than being alive above. Is that what you meant?
What is this, getting confusing?
Well, you have a word inserted that didn't make sense.
What? Oh, yeah, she's reading where I've already edited. In the past, we have asked whether you can consider life in any form other than being alive. We ask you to consider life as a being or self. Now we ask, can you imagine life in such instance as a self of memory and memories? Your present and future eternal abiding life is a being or self of memory and memories, which, like DNA of your body, encodes your eternal abiding self, and your abiding dreams speak clearly of the eternal self and life you are creating. That's why I'm bringing this up today, by the way. Not to divert you from dreams, but to say your dreams are important because they show you to your abiding self. And that's the abiding self that you are living and creating today. We know the stuff of DNA, but not its language. While with MAS, we know the language, or can know or decode the language and the story of your eternal self, even without knowing the stuff of mass. Every night,
as a loner self, you, as a loner self, go to sleep and dream, dream of or awaken yourself as an eternal self, eternal being. Which is eternal only because by being an abiding emanation of your personal self. An emanation then is not composed. It's like immersion is not composed. It's an like immersion is an emanation of the constituents. So therefore, looking at life and your life and what you do as emergent from that perspective, the consequences are eternal because they're not composed and therefore they don't decompose. Abiding means enduring without lessening or decomposing, however you want to put that. So, the question in all of this is, are you willing to regenerate your loner body self to abiding? As I've talked about forever and ever, and nobody, and everybody says yes, and nobody's even made any effort to do so. We know the stuff of DNA, but not its language. While with MAS, we know the language, or can know or decode that language and story of your eternal self without knowing the stuff of MAS. Every
what
night.
What is MAS?
It's memory and eternal self, or memory of your eternal self.
MAS. Okay. Thank you.
No, abiding self, excuse me, I think I said eternal. It's memory and of your abiding self. Every night you as a loner self go to sleep and dream of or awaken yourself as an eternal being, which is an eternal only because being an abiding emanation of your personal self. In other words, your personal self today and what you are living is emanating and creating your eternal self. So I guess the question is, do you believe in yourself, and are you living the self and life you truly desire to be and live eternally? Because if not, then you're creating a self and life you don't really want to live. Yet that's the eternal being that you will be and have. It's not the reverse of that. You are not a spiritual being living a physical life. You are a physical being creating your eternal life. Religion has had it all wrong for centuries. And many people have died, like Wayne Dyer, trying to make religion and spirituality work. It doesn't work. It's backwards. Maybe it is more accurate to say you introduce your eternal abiding self to the latest personal you every night. While there is the appearance of things and the feelings and emotions about happenings in this abiding world, there is no lasting effect in your dreams, such that everything quickly fades and passes away. And you don't write down your dreams and put them in the Dropbox, only to continue again the next night. In another episode of the continuing saga that is your eternal abiding self and life, you don't treat your dreams as an eternal saga, but it is. It portrays the story that you are writing and living as an eternal self every day. That's the purpose of the dream, is knowing what that eternal abiding self is that you are creating and living. I guess we'll find out on Saturday. If you can understand this, then you can understand that you have one abiding dream and life that both follows and precedes you. And clearly portrays your you every night and day. I didn't get to obviously edit this last part, so let's just leave it for now.
Got a question, Roger. When the editing is complete, will you be making that available to us?
No, but Mr. Mike.
The wrong person then.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong person.
No, okay.
She's down at the other end of the room, so you got to talk loud.
I hear her.
She's
what?
She's here behind me.
Are you Misty?
Yeah.
When Roger's finished editing it and you finished keystroking it, would you make a copies of this available to all of us?
As long as he wants me to. So yes.
What did she say, Roger?
She said, probably, if you want it.
No. She said, as long as he wants me to.
She said, what?
As long as you want her to.
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, I've given you this story before. You've read it. You have it. You just haven't understood it. And all I...
Well, there's a whole bunch of other stuff you wrapped around that story.
That's why I say, yeah. Just like your dreams, it tells you more because it's in context. Well, I didn't give you all the context around it before.
Yeah, the story itself, it's one of your earlier books.
What?
Mm-hmm.
The story itself is one of your earlier books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is the basis of my life.
Oh.
Not yours, maybe. We'll all see come Saturday. Okay, well, we'll leave it there. It's almost 8:00.
Well, thank you very much, Roger. That was really great. Thanks, Ken, and thanks, Jennifer, for reading. That was wonderful.
You're welcome.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we have a day analysis coming up on
Saturday.
Are we going to do the dreams?
You want to do a dream tonight?
Oh, I don't know. What time is it? Yeah. A short one, maybe.
Okay.
Jennifer had a short one.
The one I have set out here is Andrew's. It's kind of long. I'll take a short one. Short
one. Well, I said a short one, yeah.
The short one's too... The real short one for Andrew is probably too short. We'll see. We'll now everybody get into the act of asking Andrew questions.
No.
Aqua-colored race car on a racetrack, zipping along until it starts slipping back over front over and over. Now, if you're gonna
Andrew, tell me about aqua. What color is aqua? What does it mean to you?
That's a great question. I don't know. I'm not sure. When I use it in, I often use color coding in my, like when I'm working on a computer, and I have different colors that mean different things. And aqua is between a, usually like blue is a concept, and then green is kind of like a, I don't know, a fertile thing or a growing thing or a healing thing. So I'll put that as, if it's between something like that, I'll put it.
Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Could you see why aqua colors race car might mean his emotions, as in aqua color?
What first came to me was aquatic, and I wondered what Andrew
as
was
a what?
Oh,
as a aquatic. Yeah. Well, could you say aqua as in color in this case is the same as emotions?
I would follow with that, yes.
Wow, never thought of that.
When you color things with your emotions, is it possible we can say that you start flipping back over front and over again? That what you that you lose
sure.
That you follow your emotions, not what's going on?
Right. My current statement to everyone these days is that emotions make you stupid. I think that applies to me.
So if your car is a body, oddly, this race car, along with the other cars, were all going in the reverse direction of what you normally see on racetracks. Do you rule by your emotions, Andrew?
Ruled by my emotions.
Is it often that your emotions drive you in reverse of where you want to go, of how you want to go?
No.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. I learned that emotions make you stupid thing from myself.
You what?
So yeah, I think so. That saying I have to people about emotions make you stupid, I learned that from observing myself. So yeah, I think that what you said would apply.
I'm just asking. I didn't say. Don't take my question.
He's answering.
Yeah.
I'm affirming what you said.
Okay. But only because you're affirming. I'm not imposing that on you. Well,
okay.
That's the end of the dream. And you see how that short dream, when you understand it, gives you a lot of information.
Pretty snappy, full of it, yeah.
Show.
And Andrew, I like that emotions make me stupid. It's I think.
Hey Patrick, I got one for you, Patrick. You ready?
Yeah.
Emotions make you stupid. But it's serious.
Yep. Well, there you are. Yeah.